So if you're like me, and you are almost always online, you've definitely come across some good YouTubers. I've talked about a few before. A guy named Jacob Geller, very good video essay guy, talks about video games and art, history, all that kind of good stuff. But you guys got any good recs for other good YouTubers?
I got one.
Okay, go ahead. We should all say before we get into this, at the time of this recording, they have not done anything weird or illegal yet. Continue.
Yet. Just gotta put that out there. Mine is, I think, Jake, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with this guy. Many Kudos.
Oh, yep.
Been loving his stuff. He talks about, like, controversies in certain fandoms, like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic the Gathering. It's very good. Very good stuff. Really funny guy.
Yep. Yeah, he did. He actually did one recently on Barbie that was really good because the Barbie movie just came out. So they're topical most times. But yeah, he talks about stuff that, like, even like the Magic the Gathering stuff. I've been into a lot of things that he's talked about. And there's some that I'd never even heard of. So many kudos, excellent guy. Also very funny New Zealand accent. So go listen to him if you like that.
There you go.
Couldn't recommend enough.
Yeah, very awesome.
I personally, and I know Jake watches this as well, but anything from Watcher Entertainment. Namely, Puppet History is honestly one of the most interesting things. It's basically the whole show is centered around, because actually I found this earlier, I think when they were used to work for BuzzFeed, that they did like a weird kind of like a table, and Shane, which is like one of the main hosts, would go about a topic of history and they would kind of like joke about it and stuff, but go along the path. And then it kind of, I may have developed into Puppet History, but the fact is it's like a little blue Elmo-looking creature that has its like own personality and stuff, voiced by Shane. Ryan Bargara is like one of the main hosts that's always in every episode that he always kind of gets shit on and stuff like that. But it's, and then they always have guests, and they kind of do like trivia throughout. They're like, but like they'll go through like different topics, like you got the Black Death, you got the Dancing Plague, the possessions of God, it was like a nunnery in the 1700s, I think.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, and it, believe me, like everything's like really put together and very knowledgeable.
Nice.
I'll recommend one. One of the topics to get you started was the first Olympics. They did one on that, and that one, you couldn't even imagine the shit that happened during the first Olympics. you couldn't even imagine.
I don't even think it was the first Olympics. I think it was just like the most ill-conceived Olympics. Like they planned it in the hottest part of the U.S. It was like
one of the first Olympics in the United States, I should say, not because those go way back to Greece.
But it was like, something like that. But yeah, like it involved like so many trials. Like these people had no idea what the race was. So like when they were actually doing the marathon, people were just like, it's so dusty that the dust clouds are coming up, so they couldn't see where the hell they're going. So they're like veering off the path.
Yeah.
People are dying.
We thought everybody would love to run a marathon in New Mexico in the middle of summer.
Yeah, but like, honestly, I like the Donner Party one's really good too.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
but they go into like all these topics and they'll just go like completely batshit. And like, it sounds innocent at first, which it kind of is, but at the same time, like, it's. I would say there is adult humor in there.
Yeah. It is definitely not made for children. Even though it is hosted by a puppet, we need to be very clear. Hosted by a puppet does not mean for children.
Yes,
but.
Yes. So as a newly birthed PC bro, you would think I'd recommend like Linus Tech Tips or Gamers Nexus, to list a few. But I'm going to go out of left field and I'm going to recommend Good Work. Which is mostly videos by Dan Toomey. Oh my gosh, that man is hilarious. He answers questions that you never had, such as, what does an investment banker do? And he does it in the most, like, his comedy is, like, straight-laced. But there's no funny man, so it's just straight-laced. It just works. It works.
He did one on what do consultants do, and that was amazing.
Yes. Oh, that one was so good.
Check him out. Those people who are wondering, what the dog doing?
Yeah, he was originally with Morning Brew, and he kind of recently started good work as like a side project within Morning Brew. And it's amazing stuff. He says back with Morning Brew, he did some really good interviews. God, they're funny.
Hmm.
I remember Morning Brew. I remember. I don't think I subscribed to it. I think you did, Tim. But I think you would tell me stuff about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my Morning Tim, not my Morning Brew. But
Morning Brew is fantastic.
But no, yeah, yeah,
so good.
Should I like leave my link in the description of this episode so I can get more subs so I can get free gear? Like,
stop being a shill, Tim.
You just have to say the link is in the show notes.
The link is in the show notes.
In the show notes. I'm not doing it.
Hashtag not sponsored, but hashtag will get free stuff.
I'm so willing to sell out. Just let me.
So willing to sell out for Tim to get another free thing.
I about to say, exactly. Last free thing I got were a pair of joggers. They're my favorite joggers. I'm just saying.
he can only go up.
I can only go up. And if I get 1,000 referrals, I get a work from home makeover. So,
oh my god!
I think we have 60,000 listeners, so I'll get that in no time.
You might be in an MLM. I'm just going to say this right now.
And I'm then just waiting for Tim to start saying your link, and then just buy six cases of this product, and then you just have to sell it. It's easy.
It's that easy, guys.
I have had like two or three friends at one point in their lives come up to me and describe what they do, and I'm just like, that actually sounds either illegal or a very lucrative scam on you.
Just waiting for Tim to show up and say, here's these knives that they will cut through anything. You should
really buy. Oh my god, those. Those are all over college campuses. I remember like flyers and like business cards for that. Just terrible.
Is there a knife MLM?
There have been.
Wait, what?
Cutco. That sounds like a SNL skit level of like name.
It does, but it existed.
Of course it
did. There was the whole thing of like selling knife blocks, and you're like, oh, you should buy these knives and stuff. And it was the whole thing of
cut through tomato squash knives.
Yeah, you can already get the sales pitch right there.
Anywho, it's NFL season, it's football season, so. I go into my cycle of consuming a normal amount of football content to now consuming enough for three people. I'm sucking in fantasy football, national football, people making fun of TV football commentary, local football,
yep.
Ravens.
Rampant sports betting.
Yeah, I try to not do a ton of sports betting, but it's very, very fun. I usually take my free bets. Last year I did one bet and I won $11,000, so that was incredible. No success. Yep.
Watching
no success
you that though. Night was an experience.
I know, just like that was so funny. That entire night, Kelly was just like, I just won a bunch of money.
Yeah, it was the luckiest bullshit ever. It was awesome.
Yeah,
he was walking around. He was walking around with the baby in his arm and his phone, just like.
Yeah, it was what a crazy day. It turned a $50 free bet into $11,000, so it was pretty amazing.
Man,
this is not condoning betting. This is condoning getting lucky every once in a while.
It could happen to you.
Definitely will not. No, Kelly is a very blessed man.
You've seen it here first.
Yeah. Anywho, I have to. So of picking my YouTube content for this, I'm going to go with Nate Tice and Robert Mays on the Athletic Football Podcast because they are such good vibes. I love Robert Mays and Nate. They just bring such a joy to football. There's no they don't bicker. It's not like a debate show. They're both total nerds. They're film gurus, but they also dig into the data. And you can just tell that they record their whole podcast with just a giant smile on their face. And Nate Tice is kind of one of those guys that has like an infectious smile.
Yep.
I love those guys. They're awesome. and their content is always wholesome and
very cool.
No, Jake also has an infectious smile. Makes me sick.
But it's the mustache. That's what it really is. Speaking of Jake, my YouTube channel recommendation is someone named Jake. If you look up Naked Jakey, spelled exactly how you think, he does really, really funny talks on a lot of things. His iconic thing is that he sits on a big medicine ball in front of a green screen. And he'll just like talk while he's just like talking about stuff, but during that he'll be like superimposed into like whatever clip he's showing or something like that, and he's fucking funny. Very funny. He's so fucking funny. But he did a few really good videos recently that like totally resonated. He did one on crappy technology. And just like how like tech is just kind of shit right now. Like there's nothing new. It's just everything is replicating each other with like more outdated hardware. He also did something in the Age of Broken Video Games. And it talked about like how every game now, we're kind of desensitized to the fact that every game that you buy for $60, $70 is going to have a crucial necessary update like a month after it comes out. And it's not fair. It's straight up not fair to us. So really, really good, really funny. He very, very good talker, and just his editing style is very funny too. He's just a very, very lighthearted guy. So go watch his stuff. He's definitely one of the people that I rung the bell on YouTube, so I can know when he posts videos. Don't do that often.
You rung the bell?
Don't do that often.
So you rung that bell and smashed that like button.
Rang that bell, smashed that motherfucking like button, but I bleeped it right there. I bleeped it in the actual episode.
Shit!
And when this episode releases, it will not be bleeped, and that's going to be way funnier later. I want to get into a recommendation of Elkwood Not Dying. Elk, do you want to explain what happened last time?
I did what I could. I did the very best. I took inspiration from Benson. I was like, I'm going to be a hero. And then I was like, oh no, I fucked up.
Yeah, all those times Benson just goes deep into enemy territory, no support, no backup. All the times he's done that.
And then I was like, oh, I should be able to do this. And I was like, oh wait, my AC is in like 35. Oh, this is bad. But no, I went up there, thought I had a nice plan. I was like, I'll sit up on the crow's nest and just, take people out one by one. Like, whatever, I got the high ground. Then this bitch, I mean, this massive creature was like, looked at me and was like, hey, I got you. And they teleported up behind me.
Fucking dimension door.
Frick.
He was like, it's nothing personnel, kid.
Yeah, he literally did that. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know you could teleport. So yeah, and then he hit me once and did 44 damage. I was like, ow.
Owie.
The slavery demons playing with a game shark.
Well, here's the thing. I failed my knowledge check on it, but I was like, eh,
I didn't even.
What are the chances?
Yeah, I didn't even know. Oh, you know what? I allowed you to make an underworld check, and that was the reason why, actually, was because these guys are called slaver demons. Slavery is part of the underworld criminal organization. That's why I was allowing it, because I felt it was appropriate, but the dice roll didn't help you. Otherwise,
I love how they're already full-ass demons, but they just got to tack the slavery part on just to be that much more evil.
Yeah, and the thing is, that makes kind of sense, because if anything that Elf dealt with the underworld, it wasn't slavery.
Yeah, like, yeah, no.
It was more mercantile stuff.
He didn't do that stuff. He might have hunted down, like, you know, informants or something like that, or whistleblowers.
Informants, dissidents, and stuff like that. But he...
Priest orphans.
Yeah, but he and his boss, that like, and his, like, organization never dealt with that. And, in fact, this was like, he was like, oh, I have no idea what this thing is.
Yep.
So... Yeah, he's a bit scared.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
It's like, oh, crap.
Well, I want to take you guys into a little bit of a flashback, actually. Mm-hmm. So, Timmy, if you could,
the music.
You could get the... Dude, give me some nighttime peaceful music, you know what I'm saying?
Do the time warp music.
Time warp music.
Nighttime peaceful. peaceful. This is tabletop audio. There is no peace, only war.
Tabletop audio for all of your
war music needs.
There's no such thing as peace.
The guy, I think the guy's name is Tim. Actually, I think the guy that makes this is Tim. Yeah, he's just like, why would I make that? D&D is all about combat.
Nah, I'm just kidding. No. Of course, he has peaceful night music. Of course, he does.
What is it, like tavern?
Ah, just got a light wind going.
Yeah. There we go.
Get a little hoot from an owl.
There we go. Oh. All right. Tell me when you're ready, Tim. The late night air is cooling the stones that make up Citadel Old Terrain, a.k.a. Castle Kezzer. Castle is spelled with a K, by the way, just so everyone's clear. We see up on the battlements above where Elkwood has made his home, a humble loft. So he took one of the little, like, crenellated towers that was up there, you know, made a nice little, like, sitting area. Not only, it's a strategic placement. Not only can he see every corner of the castle from this vantage point, but he also has an unimpeded view of the night sky. He stands on the edge of the crenellated wall, with his face up and eyes agape. The stars, galaxies, and the blanket of the heavens has been mystifying for him lately. The infinite silence and calm of the space between the stars puts him in a trance. Even the distasteful and grotesque noises of Vemir enjoying his late night snack doesn't stir or agitate the half-elf. But just as the stillness begins to wash over him, his trance is shattered by the familiar sound of magic. Fwomp. He quickly turns his face toward his tiny room atop the battlements. Every candle within was snuffed out immediately. A great presence is upon him. Someone of immense power and purpose has filled his room. Normal men would have run from this feeling. Great men would have armed themselves. Elkwood does neither. There was no instinct to step away or a flinch for the blade at his side. He remains completely still. A voice rumbles out from within. Elkwood Grimm. The sheer power of these words makes the loose stones tremble on the battlement's path. Out gazing at the stars, are we? The figure steps forward, revealing a stout hobgoblin and an extravagant tunic pinned with numerous talismans and emblems. Five magical wands lay across his chest in a bandolier, made usually for firearms. A golden chalice filled with wine hangs and sways from his hip, yet never spills. This hobgoblin is played by Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
Yeah. That works.
As he should be.
As he should be. You're making quite a name for yourself, my son. Are you enjoying your time away?
Something like that. Wasn't my full intention to be a hero, but stranger times have come upon.
A hero. So these gates seem out of control. What exactly do you plan to do with them?
That I'm unsure as of yet. I will say, it's all mystifying and a bit much. There seems to be trouble upon every single one of them. But we've determined certain locations, and he just kind of clambers for a bit, and like almost it was like a reaction that he just entered back into service, and he just kind of freezes. But I don't think I'll be doing much with any of it. It's a bit too much for me.
Well, the keys are in your hand and yours to hold. However, was your employer and your friend, and the words seemed to drizzle from his lips like a poisoned mist, when will I have access to these gates? My curiosity is beginning to chip away at my patience. I took my time inspecting the gates, while the wormling duo and the bumble rashers had their back turned.
And he kind of freezes, like, mentally, he's immediately thinking, like, oh, this suddenly got very bad.
That is undetermined currently. We are still trying to figure things out here. And he's just trying to come up with anything that he can kind of place ahead of more like either a lie, but ultimately he doesn't fully understand the gates. So there is some mix of truth within it.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked that you haven't determined it yourself. If you've gotten a look at it, you're fully capable after all.
I might have a great mind myself, Wilkwood, but even then there are things that escape my knowledge.
So what exactly do you want?
Oh, it seems now you've no problem taking responsibility, making your own choices, while also taking business away from me. Why exactly did you kill my buddy Blades? I'll have you know I put my sister in charge for them for a reason.
That I was unaware that was your sister. They attacked us first, and simply we were defending ourselves.
Well, she's not working for me, and perhaps she'll work for you. Give her purpose, since you and your friends took hers away. And a hobgoblin that you once defeated by the name of Demiri Yotasha.
I was about to say, is this that rapier hobgoblin?
The former leader of the small bandit troop, the Bloody Blades, steps out from behind, from the darkness behind her brother. She hangs her head low in shame.
Never thought I'd have to break my own sister out of a prison transport carriage.
And he sort of like nudges her with his massive elbow.
It was easy enough. A few corpses are worth a classic family reunion, isn't it?
Yes, something of the sort like that. But now, like, before his attitude would have been kind of on the same level, but now it's kind of dragging him a bit. But, well, what would you have me do with her? I mean, she can't be walking around.
I'll let you two get reacquainted. I'll see a blossoming business opportunity here. When you find out what's going on behind this second gate arc, I want to know as well. Until next time. You two get along, eh?
And Mr. Grimm draws his second wand from his bandolier and teleports away.
Whomp. You're telling me this man has a pimp chalice and several wands of teleport?
Yes.
Certain players will know what class he is, actually, but...
Yeah. I know. Oh, my God.
What are you thinking? What do you think?
I don't think it's a wizard.
No. Can I give my guess?
Yeah, go give your guess.
It's a thaumaturge.
Kel, what's your guess?
Maybe a thaumaturge.
Okay, you think a thaumaturge, too?
It has to. Has to be a thaumaturge with a specialization in, like, wands. With a wand.
You know what, I'll just be different, and I'll go, I think he's a summoner.
No, that's not a bad one, man. He is a thaumaturge, yeah, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a very...
Child's like, you know what, I'll be different.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
What exactly is a thaumaturge again?
Thaumaturge is sort of like a magic item collector, and they're extremely resourceful, that's their thing. They know all about like esoteric items and magic and stuff like that. So it's they're one of the coolest classes out there. So
they're a dumb wizard.
No, they just think they're reading books.
They're fairly smart.
They're more like a fighter that's obsessed with magic items.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
And can get more uses I think out of a lot of items too. Like so.
Oh, that's hugely valuable.
Yeah,
they're like multiple activations for an item, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, and then they get specialized weapon. Like I researched into it a bit, and some of them are really kind of fun.
In my opinion, it's the best class that Paizo has ever designed.
It's one of the most unique ones too. It's one of the most unique ones. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as good as first edition Ranger.
Almost. After this, Demiri is just sort of standing there. Everyone else is asleep downstairs. You know this.
Yes. So you're supposed to follow my words here.
suppose. I know he's got eyes and ears all over this place.
Yes, I am aware of that. So tell me, what have you known? Well, actually, since you would just want to broken out of prison, I guess we could say it'd be good and be resourceful if you could keep an eye out on the perimeter.
I'm going to stay clear of your friends, just to be completely honest.
That makes perfect sense, to be honest.
You and your friends handcuff the corpses of my compatriots.
They do that.
I forgot we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you attach the corpses of her compatriots to her as you dragged her back.
Wasn't there two that escaped?
Do what?
I thought there was two that escaped, right?
I think one,
that ran.
I'd have to listen back, but yeah, I think so. But I know two of them died, and you guys handcuffed their bodies to her as she walked her back.
I'm fairly confident Benson had no hand in that action.
I'm almost certain too, but
no. But he's just kind of talks. He's
well. There's not much else you can really do here besides keeping a healthy perimeter around and inform me of anything moving on the outside. If we can keep him happy, that would be the best course of action.
She sort of looks up. She's got, like, bags under her eyes. She clearly has not slept very well. She's just like, I'm gonna fall asleep here, if you don't mind.
Out in the woods.
Right.
I'll make sure no harm comes to you. Just, it's safer if you're out there than in here. I don't know what I could do to prevent Benson from, well, being Zeal.
Bensoning you.
Bensoning you.
Bensoning.
Don't get Bensoned.
We have a Benson. And also, if you could, actually. Because this was right... I know we discussed this right before. I just completely forgot.
Yeah, when so did this exactly happen? This would be one of the nights after Adalar had passed.
Yes.
So, and there was like a 2-week turnover, or close to that, in between.
Could do me a favor as well and look up the name Grimshaw. I would like to have more information on him.
All right. I'll.
But stay healthy distance. He's just as mad as the other one.
Now there are two of them.
Now there are two of them.
But yes.
She gives you a nod and then jumps off the top of the battlement and says she's also a ranger and can just drop.
I thought she was a fighter.
No, she was a ranger.
Hmm. Yeah, no, she is a ranger.
She is a ranger, yeah.
Yeah, she just took... two weapon fighting.
That's right, yeah. Yep. She drops off from the top of the battlements in complete silence, and then we fade out from and, that.
Well, like, I was, sorry, oh. I was just, and like, kind of like after that whole ordeal after she leaves, he just kind of sighs heavily. Just kind of like a shudder kind of rolling through as he kind of had, like, embraced that old life immediately. Back into himself again and just kind of continue staring back up at the stars, just trying to push it out.
And we see the bead of sweat sort of drip down Elkwood's forehead onto his brow, and we fade out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And we are back on the Genie's Smile, the ship that you guys have begun your assault on. And Elkwood, it is your turn.
Well, boy.
Stay put.
I hold. I wait for Benson to come up here and save me.
How long should it take me to climb that fucking ladder?
Just throw down all your weapons and be like, Benson will get you.
Vertical movement with the upper torso, that's what somebody in full plate wants to do.
It'll be a full move action for you to get to the damn crow's nest. Right. And
how tall is a crow's nest?
Yeah, how tall is it, actually?
I want to say they're, 20, 25 feet or something like that. It all depends on the ship size, too, but...
Yeah, gotcha.
It would be a while.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, actually, in this moment, like, this... creature is staring kind of, he is gouged out his side, partially. He is not doing... He's doing... I mean, this was the first time he's been hit today, so he's not terrible, but 44 points of damage is 44 points of damage.
Yep.
And he isn't a paladin, or a champion, so this was like... like, he reaches and, like, holds the blood, like, to his hands and sees it, and, like, looks up at it, and, like, there's fear in his eyes, but kind of as, like, the most recent interaction that he had with his boss, and he sees this creature, and another fear kind of flickers in as he envisions his trainer, the one orc named as Garrick, like, lifting up his two-handed axe, and he subconsciously kind of takes in an ability that wasn't revealed until now, as he unlocks his elven instincts, and kind of like in training he was known to more dance around opponents and, like, if anything, use acrobatics to get away. So by using elf step, this gives him, as one action, he can step twice. So that is his level 9 ancestry feat. So it kind of, like, as a blur, he kind of, like, flips back and then flips back again, stepping. And he is currently on the... what the hell is this thing called? The mast?
So there's the mast, and then there's, like, the crossbeam that, like, holds the sail up. So, yeah, so you are currently dancing on top of the sail.
And I'll roll an acrobatics just to make sure, because I think I have to save to be on this thing.
I had the DC. It's extremely easy, so.
Elkwood famously bad at this.
Yeah, I know. 27.
27, yep, that's a critical success, so you're okay. More than fine.
Okay, so what he's going to do as one action was to step away twice. Mm. And now he's going to look at this demon and kind of like in a weird show of needing to fight, he's going to quick draw the eclipse and quickly chuck it at it. Nice. As a second action.
Okay, yeah. Alright. Alright.
Because obviously the bow is way too close.
Yep.
That is... Ooh, okay. That's good. That's a 15 on the die. So that is a...
40?
A 58? No, a 15 on the die is a 33 to hit.
33, that is a hit.
Sweet. So that is... the eclipse, which is okay, light magical, whatever. Give me that damage because I don't feel like rolling d4s.
So many d4s.
I hate rolling d4s. They always fail. That is 17 points of damage.
As you strike him in the cheek, as you throw in, you strike him in the cheek. He, like, recoils and he's like, "Your soul will be mine." As you think that did a little bit more damage, because it's cold iron.
Oh, that's right. Oh, he's a demon, that's right. And with that,
nice.
He then, hoping he's safe from any, God forbid, attacks of opportunity, runs off the rest of the mast and jumps down to the pier.
Alrighty. Alright, so you're going to jump down to the pier or you're going to jump into the water?
The pier, how far is it down?
I would say I'll say 35 feet.
I don't take damage.
Oh, okay, you don't take damage then. Okay.
No, I'm a master in acrobatics.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you just...
I got cat fall.
You do a wicked gainer off and just totally stick the landing, brah.
Now, you see, Elkwood at this moment needs a cloak so he can do the Batman fall, where he throws the cloak out and, like, slowly descends. Yeah.
Yeah, or he fully embraces it, face plants onto the deck, but just stands up and it's totally fine.
Teeth are missing. I didn't take damage. So his final action is that he runs off and jumps onto the pier.
That was totally badass. You did a cool step, a throw, hitting him, and then you jumped off. I imagine you jump down, roll, and then put your hand up and catch the star knife as it comes back to you.
Yeah.
Yes, I envision that. that works much better.
I will go ahead and give you a hero point for that, because that was fucking cool.
I now have one hero point.
I didn't tell you this, but because it's a new chapter, you guys do get another one, so...
So I didn't use my one from last chapter.
Oh, there we go. So,
so I get two.
All right. That was the end of Elkwood's turn, so it now comes to the Calavacus, or slaver demon. He screams out, screaming his reaction, blah, blah, blah. He screams out and orders the mercenary sailors to finish the job. So they're now getting into initiative. So the mercenary sailor that's on the south, so she is like directly to the north of the ramp going up into the ship. So she is going to run down at you, Benson. And she's going to go up and try to encounter you. Oh wait, no, she's not.
Why not?
Very specific reason, but she is going to pick up her, she's going to take out her scimitar. And she is going to ready an action for when you come up.
Coward!
Just use Sunblade, John.
What, and do 3 damage?
Alright, so that is her turn. She's got a... Oh, just a mundane scimitar, actually. She's just a merc.
They look different, though. Like, is there like a bigger picture of them?
Oh yeah, let me pull it out. Oh yeah, I'll pull the.
Okay,
there you go.
Look like a pirate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they look like pirates. They have like leather tunics and the classic pirate boots. They got a sweet looking scimitar and they have a tricorn hat. Yeah,
and the cape.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see, but there is a golden earring in one of her ears. So
nice.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Fun fact: do you know why pirates had golden earrings?
In case they needed to barter for their life.
So I believe that's part of it, but apparently one of the reasons why they would have those, I don't know how much truth there is to this, but I heard somewhere that they did that so that way wherever they died that there was money for like a funeral or like a burial or something like that. It was so that way they had wealth with them at all times.
That's
so
kind
of, if you got a piece of gold
in
your ear.
Was not, in fact, for the drip?
Wearing your wealth is drip, I guess. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
All right. After the merc readies her action with her scimitar, Kezra, it is your turn.
Okay. Kezra needs to get some of these people out of the way, so he is going to just do an electric arc to try to chip these dudes down. So it'll be on the boar and on the sneak that we've been pursuing.
The sneak that realized all of her terrible life choices.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I still have her rapier in my hand.
I know.
Go ahead and roll reflex saves for the two of them.
Alright, I will roll hers first, and she did so well the previous times. Oh, she is no longer flat-footed and prone, so let's take those off. Okay. Alright, so reflex save from her. Is it 26?
That is a fail.
That is a fail?
Yes.
And then the boar. Do they have the same reflex save? That's funny. Natural 1 on the blood boar.
Sweet, let's just kill this thing.
So 32 damage on the boar, 16 on her.
Woo-hoo. Jeez! Alright, 32 points of damage on the boar. He has no idea where that came from.
Not for that for a crispy boar.
Yummy.
And with my last action, I think I will. I think I'll just close distance a little bit. I'm going to move right up around the little edge of the dock.
Okay.
Just a little closer to the boar and to Grimshaw.
Alright. Yeah, there's a big clump right now. In the center of the dock, right next to the boat ramp, there is, going from north to south, Benson, Grimshaw, a dead boar, and a live boar, Vamir, Kezra, and then the sneak. All within 5 feet of each other. Alright.
Getting cozy.
Yeah, yeah. Get cozy, everybody. All right, it is Bull Butcher's turn.
Wait.
I'm terrified of this guy.
No, I feel like he just went.
No, he shouted as a free action.
To get it. So he is going to...
See, that was a sick jump. I won't attack you guys anymore.
Mad respect, dog.
He is going to stand up on top of the crow's nest, so he's going to sort of grab the edge, and then he pulls his arm down and sort of channels some magic, and it looks like he's a little bit faster than usual.
I was really scared of a fireball right here, not going to lie.
Oh, man.
No, he doesn't have that, but I'll tell you, he did cast haste on himself.
Yeah, it's still really bad.
He's already a fast creature. So.
Yes. So he already has movement, so...
I was just worried that he could dimension door on demand.
Mm. Like, at will. Yeah,
at will.
Alrighty, so let me go ahead
Jake's
and...
Jake's like, he can. Don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
I'm just fucking with you guys.
Let me get quickened onto him, and then it'll become the sneak's turn. So the sneak, without a weapon still, mind you... she is gonna just continue running.
This huge wall of beef in front of her, by the way.
I know. That's why she's going to try to run past you guys.
No one has attack of opportunity.
I think.
I know.
Hey, the boar might. You never know.
This is true.
All right. So she's a 25. So she can get. Let's see. She can get there. Oh wait. Hold on. I gotta. She can get there, and then she can get up to, the center of the ship. I'm fuller. There we are. So she runs up and she gets to the center of the ship and she starts looking around at the other, there's a few more mercenary sailors on the ship. It's just those two are the only ones that grab their weapons. And so she looks to the other ones and she's like, give me a scimitar! And one of them throws a scimitar at her.
Are you trained to use the scimitar?
Yes, give me the scimitar. So she used her last action to pick up said scimitar. So that is her turn. It is the Blood Boar's turn. Blood Boar sees a bit of an easier target with Vamir. Is Vamir within reach of this Blood Boar, Mark?
I think so.
Okay.
I can't remember, but he probably is.
That's fair. Alright, so he... doesn't think he can shove this thing, so he's just going to try to gore out with his jaws.
You could try and shove it.
I could. Shoving a flying creature is funny, though. Natural 20.
Oh.
Yeah, bet. Well, that obviously hits.
That'll hit.
Let me get his card.
No, it's not named. I don't know if we had that rule
we
or
just,
not.
No, we always
no,
do.
No, we don't.
Okay,
it's
all
just.
Right. All right.
Tongue piercing. The target must succeed a DC flat check to cast spells with the verbal component until healed.
All right.
Wow. I've never seen Vamir more nerfed.
Yeah, Vamir, man, he was just about to cast that fireball.
Thank goodness. Wow. There's more really saved himself. Okay. All right.
The real,
so critical
the real thing
damage.
Is that this tusk went through Vamir's tongue, which probably hurt.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, he probably has like a power word kill somewhere in there.
Yeah. You don't know. Yep. All right. Critical damage, however, is going to be 34 points of piercing damage.
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt really bad.
Then he's going to do another jaw attack. 19 to hit.
That's a miss.
Miss. And the last attack, nothing agile here. 17. Miss on the last one. So.
That's a miss. So, he takes a healthy hit.
That was a healthy hit. The other mercenary sailor, so this is the one that she's on the north, so she's the one that's sort of closest to you, Elkwood, but she's still, like, on top of the, she's still on top of the ship. So she is going to walk to the bow of the ship, to the very front, take out a torch, and light it. And that is all she's going to do.
That sounds like a signal.
Yo.
They're gonna set the boats that have black powder on fire.
Yeah, all these boats have fire on them.
Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Alright, Grimshaw, I think I want to try to make quick work of this boar in front of me, so I'm going to use my first action to strike out.
Alright.
And probably miss with a 23. I'm flanking!
It would have been a hit anyway, so you're good.
Yay! I love playing a champion. I'm a champion of the world.
Wow, that is... The ego's getting a little higher over there, Timmy.
Hey, man, this playing a champion is special.
It does feel like that, I'll give you that.
13 points of damage.
All right.
This boar is really still alive.
Yep, sure is.
It's still alive.
It's still alive.
We didn't do much damage to it.
That's true, I forgot. We wrecked the other one. So I'm going to strike out again. Ooh. Another 24, so that's another hit.
Another hit.
Wow.
Give me some more damage.
Wow. Please, I'm just... Wait, max damage. I'm feeling max damage.
You feeling
on the
it?
Tip of my fingers.
Feeling the max?
Or maybe almost not quite minimum 12 points of damage.
So nearly the opposite of what you said before.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And it's still up.
It's still
right?
up. Yeah. If you remember, these things have ferocity too. So.
You know what? One more strike.
All right.
Because I'm pulling a Benson. I'm feeling a little frisky. Let's just swing for the fences.
Be inventive. Be a little frisky today. It's combat.
I miss with a 14.
Alrighty.
That's my turn.
That's your turn. Benson, the bacon is still alive. But there is a demon.
Yeah. I don't know how much...
Leave the boar to me. I'll take care of it.
Okay. Benson's gonna whole ass just charge up.
Okay.
Is this barricaded?
No. The ramp to the ship is not barricaded.
Okay, then I run up.
All right.
What do I see?
As you get to the top, you can take another step forward, and then you'll be able to see inside the ship. There you go. So
ooh,
you can now see the top deck. So you can see that there's the mercenary sailor that all the way to the north at the tip of the ship that has the lit torch. You can see the one that was readying an action for you, assuming you come up close enough for you to hit her or for her to hit you. See the Scarlet Triad sneak about 20 feet to the east of you, next to the first mast that she now has a scimitar that she didn't have before.
Benson will look to the sneak. Just be like, you're not worth my time, get off the ship, and he will step up.
Alright. Alright, so the Merc Sailor will use her readied action to swing at you with the scimitar.
Can I use that as an intimidation roll?
Sure.
You'd have to spend an action, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nope, then no.
Yeah.
Damn it, Timmy. I was going to let him do the intimidation and then be like... you used an action. Alright, so she's going to get her attack off first because she readied. Scimitar, 32 to hit. That exactly hits. There's going to be 12 points of slashing damage.
That is going to be...
Or is it more than that? Because she also deals an extra 5 points of precision damage.
Oh. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, it's alright.
Benson's dead.
I really did not think she was going to hit me there. But that's why I get being cocky. Where are they? There it is.
Alright, so now you're swinging at her.
Yes, I am.
Alrighty.
33.
That is a critical hit, my friend.
Holy shit.
Takes a little blood, Benson goes... How cute, and just drops the fucking cleaver on her.
All right.
32 points of damage.
Oh God.
All right.
Intimidation roll? Please?
No, there are plenty of things that you can do. There are plenty of feats for that kind of thing, but...
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, I remember it was...
Wasn't it like Kerrigan Strike or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
In first edition, I remember there was like a Gorgon Smash or whatever. That
oh,
like,
yeah. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. It. Yeah, Cornigan Smash or something like that.
Gorgon Smash.
Gorgon Smash. All right, is that the end of your turn?
Yes, I can't do anything else.
Okay. All righty. That case, it comes to Oakwood. You are on the dock, about 20 feet from the side of the ship.
Right. So how high... So I pretty much wouldn't be able to see the torchbearer.
You can see her. I'll say that if you want to make an attack on her, it would be cover.
Yeah. But
you can see her. I mean, the railing of a ship isn't like 5 feet high. It's only like two or three.
True, but he also kind of like, due to the link he has with his animal companion, felt that the mirror got freaking chunked really badly.
Yeah.
So he kind of just turns and glares and gives the. Changes his hunt prey, because he's going to anyway, to the boar.
Yep.
Vimir is going to strike immediately in retribution. Okay. 17 on die for a... What was that? A 31 to hit, I think?
Flanking!
Hold on. Plus 14. So yeah, 31 to hit.
31, because it is flanking. That... Oh, well, wait. Is it... Oh, yeah, it will be, yeah. Yeah. So, because Vimir is flanking with Grimshaw, that is a critical hit.
Heck yeah.
Let's go.
I'm just going dice roll this, because I'm like, that's a lot.
Too many dice.
So many dice. Yeah.
Hey, Jake, instead of rolling 2d8, can I roll 16 d1s?
Oh, my God. Dude, like, okay, so a 6, a 7, and an 8. That is 48 points of damage.
All right, well... It enacts ferocity immediately to not go down.
Pisa.
Come on.
Then he strikes again.
Come on, Vimir. Come on.
22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes.
And Boom goes to dynamite.
Yep. And
for
the
14 points of damage.
And the blood boar falls as you proc his ferocity and then hit him again for dead.
He just spears him right through the... Like, his beak goes right through its skull. Crunches right in his skull.
I feel like this isn't the first time this has happened with Vimir and Grimshaw fighting the same target. So, like, Grimshaw just, like... You know, Vimir has given him a nod already, and he was kind of taken aback. That's a bird.
Yeah.
But, like, now he gets it, and he gives Vimir a nod.
Vimir tries to speak, but can't because his tongue is pierced.
Aww.
You will never know. So, from that, Elk is going to use a second action to hunt prey on this one here.
The Merc Sailor with the torch now.
Yeah.
All right.
And then... roll to hit with his longbow because he should be out of range.
Yes, so it's 10 feet up, and then what's the distance on this here? So it'd be about 40 feet, so I think you're fine.
See, I love it because I just rolled a 6. And the longbow is, what was the attack bonus on this thing? It's, plus 19.
Yeah.
So
that still hit.
25.
25, even with her cover, that it still hits, so yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't too terribly worried about these sailors. They might hit hard, I don't know, but their AC is kind of shit.
Yeah, thankfully. So that is damage. Oh my god. 26 points of damage.
Ow.
That is boxcars on the electricity and fire.
Dude.
Nice.
A 4, a 3, and a 6 on the other damage.
Goodness gracious. All right.
And that is his turn.
That is his turn. All right.
He is pissed and freaked out and scared of this demon.
All right. So the mercenary sailor that is squaring up against Benson at the top or at the on the top of the ramp, she is going to strike out with her scimitar. So scimitars are some of my favorite weapons. Did I ever tell you that? Scimitars and
pretty cool. I think I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, I made a whole build that was based around like forceful and sweep and shit. It was good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. So natural 20.
Yep, I think that'll hit.
Alrighty.
She was just like, "I get crit. No, you get crit.
No, you get."
All right. Very Fiend Strike. Gain a +2 circumstance bonus to AC until the end of your next turn.
Sweet.
I can live with that.
Okay.
I can live with that.
Yeah, that's cool. She might live with that because if she can parry our attacks. Critical damage, however, is going to be 26 points of slashing damage.
Ouchie.
But wait! An additional...
You double precision. You double it.
So 20 precision damage.
God damn. So I just got hit with for 40 points of damage.
Yes.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yikes.
That was not nice.
Okay. Yeah. See, she has an ability that. I guess you guys are going to be doing knowledges. She's got something called. I just love this ability. So I'll tell you about it. Shipboard Savvy. Sailor's melee strikes deal a certain amount of precision damage if both the sailor and the target are on the watercraft.
Wow.
That's cool.
It's literally just an extra little 2d6 just sprinkled on top. If
I love that.
That's such a niche thing.
It's such a niche one, yeah.
Quick, push her in the water.
That's also why I had her run off the ship, and I was like, wait a minute, never mind. I forgot about that.
Right.
Put her back on.
Yeah, right. Get back on the ship.
She's like, damn, I only lost because I left the ship.
Okay, so second attack with the scimitar. 23 and sweep on the last one. 22. So total whiffs on the last ones there. Then it comes to Kezra.
Alright, before I do my turn, just a point of order for all of our sailor listeners out there and Jake's miscalculation. The general rule of thumb for sail for masts on sailing ships are that the mast should be 1.25 or 1.35 times the length of the boat. And considering this boat's almost 100 feet long, the mast would actually be about 125 feet tall, at least. So,
well, damn.
A 30-foot drop was generous for Elkwood.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway.
You're saying the crow's nest goodness is we like 120 feet?
Yeah,
you know what?
The crow's nest would probably be about like at least 70 to 100 feet up there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, you know.
How much damage would you have taken, Elk? Like, at what point does it start getting dangerous?
50 feet is negated, so...
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to get Elk more damage. I was just like, I wonder if 30 feet is really accurate. That just sounds...
I honestly just said 30 feet.
No, I honestly just didn't care.
I honestly just didn't give a fuck.
You heard it here first, Jake.
I really went with really cool.
Just thought it was very squatty.
Jake, from Maryland, I don't know boats.
Right. Anywho. Kezra will... a bunch of steam and shit will fly out from his ass, and he'll fly 15 feet in the air, and he will launch his ass onto the boat.
You picked a direction, and you stuck with it.
And he will launch his ass onto the boat and smash right in front of that sneak that ran to get a scimitar, and I will explode and a bunch of fire and splinters sits him on a boat and not the ground. And you will roll a reflex save as I blazing dived.
Alrighty. Yes. Blazing dive on...
I love that spell.
There's not an instance that spell is not the coolest thing to ever happen.
Uh-huh.
Every single time it's good.
Is this boat going to catch on fire? Like,
this is why Benson never has to worry about running into a fight, because he's got the cavalry behind him.
He just has someone that jumps from the freaking air and explodes in the fire.
All right, so reflex save, you say. That is going to be... Natural one.
Oh, to death, maybe?
Of course this girl, this woman.
As he comes down, he just stabs her with a rapier.
You dropped this.
So I actually did fly through the air holding the rapier out like Superman,
yes.
Except with a sword.
Yes.
And,
yes.
So you will take 40 points of bludgeoning and fire damage.
God.
Oh my gosh.
Alright.
Is she still up?
Still up, yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
she only ran because she didn't have a weapon.
And with my last action, I'll attack her.
Alright.
Cinderclaw gauntlet. 28.
yep, that'll be a hit, buddy.
That will be 10 points of damage.
All right. She is regretting all of her life choices as she is not doing good on HP now.
I will go home and rethink my life.
I will go home and rethink my life. All right. After Kezra, it comes to Bull Butcher. So he is going to get this. He's going to Dimension Door at will.
Oh, what? Fuck. Oh my god!
No one expected this. High-level demon.
Come on.
And so he is going to Dimension Door directly next to Kezra.
Yeah. Oh,
no. I knew it. Yeah.
He literally blazing dived onto the ship and was just like, "Ah, the magic user."
Yeah. Like,
our battle shall be legendary.
It was a train.
So
I wanted you to kill me.
Joke's on you, I wanted death.
See, I also like that he's not even trying to flank. He's just like, nah, fuck this.
I don't give a shit.
You're worthless.
So what he is going to do is he is going to... Let's see. He's going to appear down next to you, and then he's going to swipe out twice.
So can I get the feat that lets me Dimension Door at will?
Yeah, you just got to become a demon.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is.
In advance, I'm sorry about Jake editing that episode, because I definitely blew the fuck out of that.
That's fine.
Appropriate.
As he appears next to you, he puts his hand up to strike you, and then he sees the power and the blue scales on you, and he says...
No. Give yourself to me.
I need you to make a will save.
No. Oh, shit. Oh, no.
No, 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 no.
Insert the Toy Story bit. The no.
20. You're kidding. Come on, Kelly. Do you have a hero point? Come on, man. I do.
Is that a bad roll?
That's terrible.
That's not good enough.
That's a terrible roll.
Yeah, there's no way that's good enough.
It's a natural 5. And that was a natural 3 for a 17.
Oh my gosh.
That's not good.
Wait, so with the hero point, do you have to take the second result?
Yes.
You have to take the second.
That is a critical failure.
Mm-hmm. You're freaking kidding me.
That ain't good.
This is very fucking bad.
I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be so mad, Kill. The first one was not a critical failure.
Oh, wow. Oh, come on. Kelly. This dice away.
Which dice are you using?
No, Kelly, tell me which dice you're using.
The dice away dice.
Oh, wow. Dice away. How dare you.
Dice away.
Put him in a timeout.
For all your wonderful storytelling needs.
Oh my gosh.
So, you are enfeebled too for 24 hours, but you are also under the effects of Dominate.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Kezra hears him over his shoulder just appear, and he just turns and his arms just drop to his side.
Ugh.
And he just is completely entranced by him. And Benson's the only one who can see this, and Benson, you immediately see Kezra with a look on his face you've never seen of just blankness.
Subservience.
You see a look in Kezra you've never seen before, and that is, as you said, complete subservience.
Damn.
I'll see you guys next time.
I'm so mad. Fucking Jake.
Come on.
Benson now has an excuse.
Yeah, I do have an excuse to kill him.